Welcome along to the movie podcast here on Radio Yorkshire for this Wednesday morning, the 21st of October 2015. Yes, future day. Alongside myself, Billy Banks, in the studio, Patricia Euphage and I, Eloise Marr.
Hello.
Morning, how are you?
Good, how are you guys?
I'm ecstatic, I'm really happy.
I'm worried about my health after that sleep deprivation interview.
It is quite scary if you have like less than 5 hours sleep a night regularly that you are most likely to get like something like diabetes. Hello, hello, hand in the air, hello. I wonder if the problems of being a breakfast presenter has been that, but anyway, we digress. We're talking movies now. We've got lots to come on the movie podcast today. We're going to be giving you some movie news very, very shortly. We're going to be reviewing not one, but two films. Patricia's been to see two films.
Moneybags.
Crimson Peak and The Walk. So you've been doing very well. And we'll pick out some TV movies as well that you might want to have a look at. First of all, it's time to reveal the winner of last week's clipbait with a marvellous movie bundle bag on offer. Here was the clip. What was the movie?
Red, you go. Where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Yes, it's a pretty easy one last week, but they're all easy, aren't they, really? That was, of course, Gone with the Wind. Damn you, Frank, I don't give a dear. Well done to James in Bradford. You're the first one to get it right, and you're the first one out of the hat, so you get the lovely movie goodie bag. This week's clipbait, here it is. What's the movie?
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
I don't know. Can't quite think what that would be. Roads. Roads.
Fast and Furious 4?
Could be. Could be, actually. If you think you know what movie that clip was from, at Radio _ Yorkshire, studio at radioyorkshire.co.uk, get them in. We'll do the draw before the movie podcast next week, and the first one out of the hat will win a wonderful movie goodie bag. So plenty on there. Okay, let's start with some movie news then, Patricia, and, well, I'll let you go first.
Charlize Theron could have made the biggest mistake of her life in her early career. She auditioned for Showgirls.
I thought you were going about relationship with Sean Penn.
No. the film that possibly killed Elizabeth Berkley, Saved by the Bell, Jesse Spano's.
That was her name. I remember her now, yeah.
about some stripper ladies.
Yes.
Go on.
She auditioned and she did well, and the director said she was, you know, open-minded about everything, but she wasn't well-known enough. So I think she probably sidestepped a
bit. She dodged a bullet there. Paul Verhoeven, I think, was the director of that. Same guy that directed RoboCop. He directed RoboCop and Showgirls. I'm pretty sure it was Paul Verhoeven. Yeah, it was a mixed bag for him, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Very, very interesting. She really did dodge a bullet if she didn't go for that. Thank goodness, because she was excellent in Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
As Furiosa. She was really, really good in that. Okay, there's not much happening in the world of movies this week, I don't think. Or maybe. Yes, let's start with Star Wars news. Well, big releases swamping us with, usually, you get ridiculous amounts of teasers, TV spots, this, that and the other. And we've only just had the second and final Star Wars trailer. And that's it before release in December. So it's quite exciting, because usually you get sometimes 4 or 5 trailers for films. You do. Now, of course, we've seen the trailer. Should we have another little listen to it?
If we must.
Oh, I think so.
Who are you?
I'm no one.
I was raised to do one thing, but I've got nothing to fight for.
Nothing will stand in our way.
finish what you started.
There are stories about what happened.
It's true. All of it. The dark side. A Jedi.
Force. It's calling to you. Just let it in.
Amazing.
How can you tell it's going to be amazing from a trailer?
Because I can. I just know. I just know J.J. Abrams. So, I'll tell you what, interestingly, though, Patricia, not the biggest Star Wars fan in the world, but after that trailer...
was tempted.
See? See? It's done its trick. It's done its trick. Now, there's a lot of things happening in the world of Star Wars at the moment, and there's a lot of talk about a particular character in this new Star Wars film, which is the villain, Kylo Ren. Now, we don't know too much about him. He's apparently played by Adam Driver off of Girls. But the one thing you might have said, there was a poster out for the new Star Wars film on Sunday. The trailer came out during Monday Night Football in America on Monday. And there's one thing that's missing from both of those. Luke Skywalker. There's no Luke Skywalker. We know Mark Hamill's in it. He's one of the top billed stars on the film.
Is he?
Mm.
Are we going back in time or forward in time then?
No. We're forward. It's after Return of the Jedi. So it's 30 years after Return of the Jedi.
Luke Skywalker will be a pensioner at
this
point.
He'll be 60 years old.
Right, okay.
So, but there's no Luke Skywalker on the picture, on the poster. There's no Luke Skywalker in this. And there's a lot of people saying that the villain, Kylo Ren, is Luke Skywalker. There's a lot of people saying that. Maybe it's a massive twist, we don't know.
Hang on, is Kylo Ren an anagram of Skywalker?
No.
Oh.
No. But it just gets exciting. Tickets went on sale this week as well, so that was all booked up. So it opens December 17th, and then that's midnight showings, and then December 18th for all the rest of them. So there you go. Star Wars news and movie news all wrapped up in one. I am more than excited now. Kat, what have you got next?
Mary Poppins news.
Oh.
For Lulu.
Oh, right, yes, yes.
So the director's come out and said, it's not a remake. He is the director of Into the Woods, which was awful, Chicago, which I liked, and Pirates of the Caribbean,
Bad list of films. Yeah.
Rob Marshall.
Yeah, and he said, it's not a new Mary Poppins. I'm a huge fan of the original, and I'm a very good friend of Julie Andrews, and I hold it in such awe. Apparently, I forgot her name, J.M. Is it J.M. Barrie, or is that Peter Pan? The lady that wrote Mary Poppins wrote 8 books.
Oh,
so
right, yeah.
It's just an
extension. Yes, they're doing because there was a lot of talk it was going to be just a remake. Mm. And everybody's like, why would you bother remaking that? There's no need to remake something that was perfect in the first place, really.
Do you know, in the original, there's the famous Dick Van Dyke accent, which is just neither here nor
blimey,
there.
Governor!
Does that mean they've got to open the search for actors who are terrible at doing other accents?
Yeah.
Because maybe we
Joe
could
Rawson.
Have... Yeah, Joe Rawson, but maybe Liam Neeson, who completely ruins the film Schindler's List with his rubbish German impression.
I will find you, Mary Poppins.
What?
And I will kill you.
And the fact that he's just a rubbish actor in most things these days.
Say what?
Could he play? What? He ruined Schindler's List.
He
ruins
not,
it. Oh he sounds God. Like, look, he's the most County Antrim sounding German Polish guy ever. He's rubbish in that film. He ruins it.
Oh, dear. Talking about things that you don't want, OK? It leads us very nicely onto this other piece of news. Are you ready for a Die Hard origin story? Yes, apparently. the Die Hard franchise, of which we last saw A Good Day to Die Hard, which was just awful. And it was a 12 certificate film. Of course it's going to be awful. The original Die Hard was an 18. He had colourful metaphors and, like, proper violence. That's what you want from Die Hard. This is apparently what you're going to see as a young John McClane. What I don't know, isn't the Die Hard origin story Die Hard? Because before Die Hard, he was just a cop.
He's a usual guy, isn't he?
He's just an average
cop. That's the whole point,
isn't
it?
Miranda Wright's
boring.
Die Hard.
Yeah, I think so.
So does that mean that someone else will be playing the character that Bruce Willis played?
Yeah, they'll have a young John McClane.
Who'll play Ben McKenzie?
I don't care.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I really have not got any need for this at all. I am not up for this one iota. I love Die Hard. It's the greatest Christmas movie of all time.
Never seen it.
It is the greatest Christmas movie of all time.
I've never seen it all the way through. I've seen bits of it.
It's the best Christmas movie ever. Forget Elf, forget Home Alone. Die Hard is the greatest Christmas movie of all time.
No, Home Alone's the greatest Christmas
movie. No, it's not. It's Die Hard.
No, Home Alone is.
No, it's Die Hard. We'll have this conversation nearer Christmas, by the way. So there you go. So if you're happy about that, then whoop with joy that you're going to most probably, it's still in the early stages at the moment, but they're going to try and reboot Die Hard. Show us how John McClane evolved from the cop he was to a grouchy hero he became. Sounds amazing. Kat, what else have you got for us?
Right. Well, someone's put clips of Pulp Fiction and Breaking Bad side by side and showed how much Vince Gilligan was inspired by it. So down to kind of the heroines, not really heroines, probably. Was her name Mary Jane? Jesse's girlfriend?
Yes.
Her and Uma Thurman's Mia Wallace had some striking similarities, even though
they looked very similar.
There was the shots, how they did the cinematography for Heroin was the same. A couple of shots, both of them on the loo, like John Travolta and Hank.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And if you watch it, it's on Digital Spy. It does look like he's really inspired it, even down to the camera angles.
That is amazing, isn't it, really? That is amazing. I might have to watch it.
Yeah, no, it's not at all.
I think it might be. Because
of course it's
everybody,
not.
Look,
director doesn't copy other directors. Well, Tarantino himself copies about every other director he likes, doesn't he?
Well, I suppose so, but
he's the Van Gogh of film.
I think it's interesting and quite amazing when people put that sort of effort in to, like, compare one and the other. That's what I like. And someone's put a little bit of effort into that.
I want their benefits pulled.
They might do this for a job, you never know. They might work for Digital Spy, you never know. Final bit of news from me, and it looks like it's official now. Godzilla will be fighting King Kong.
Has this already happened?
It did happen, but a long, long time ago.
Godzilla would batter King Kong.
You reckon?
It's a big dinosaur thing.
Yeah, but he hasn't got, you know... It's primate. He's fighting primate.
He's got tiny little arms, though, hasn't he? Like Raheem Sterling.
But he's got fire breath, so he could burn the monkey.
So King Kong won't be able to get anywhere. It'd be like a range war, it'd be like the Falklands again.
Well, he can climb, can't he? And then the
and jump.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could just breathe fire on him while he's in midair.
The current plan is you're going to get next Kong Skull Island, which is arriving on March 10th, 2017. Then you got a Godzilla sequel in June 2018. And then June 2020, Godzilla versus Kong. There you go. So Kong Godzilla franchise is happening. And quite exciting if you're into that sort of thing. It's quite exciting. I liked the last Godzilla film. I thought that was brilliant. I really, really enjoyed it.
The one with Bryan Cranston?
Yeah, one with Bryan Cranston.
It's better than the Jamiroquai-inspired...
Matthew Broderick one. Yeah, that was awful.
Great music, though.
Yeah, the music was good, but the film, not so much. So there you go. In 2020, you're going to watch Godzilla versus Kong on
the
big
screen. We don't have to. Let's make that clear. You do not have to watch that.
You don't have to watch it, but you probably will. So that's what's happening. That's for the news for today. Let's move on to the review section of the... movie podcast, and two reviews. Let's start with the one you saw last week, which was on the big IMAX, and it was The Walk by Robert Zemeckis.
Nice little full circle, Robert Zemeckis, Back to the Future. I am terrified of heights. I'd avoided Man on Wire, the documentary it's based on.
Yeah, I've seen
that. Like the plague, because I thought I'd be so scared. And I thought, right, I'm going to face this. This is going to happen. Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays Philippe Petit, who walks over, who is the wire walker. I thought he was a bit... He was very eccentric, and I kind of hoped that it was a fair reflection of how he was. And I watched Man on Wire the weekend, and it is a fair reflection.
Does he do a French accent?
He does a French accent, but it's okay.
Is it not a ball?
I'm not sure about
that. Some of it goes a bit yellow.
Why? Why can't they get a French bloke to do it?
Well, there, yeah, there would have been an idea.
Yeah. I think I was wondering halfway through, because his brother was kind of into his acrobats and a wire walker, and I'm wondering whether he put himself forward for that as an ode to his brother who passed away. So he's good, and then you've got Benjamin mm-hmm. Kingsley. He is Papa Rudy, he was a Czechoslovakian man. He's a bit hammy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's really good, it's really jaunty. It's not so much an idea of how France is from people that don't know France. I think it kind of nails the romanticism of the Parisians and stuff like that. It's nice. And they kind of keep to... They have this phrase all the way through called... it's the carrots are cooked, so what is done is done. And they say it in French, and it's like kind of a nice kind of keeping within the French thing. So the story's really good, and you know that you're there just for the final 20 minutes to be scared out of your wits.
So what's that like on the IMAX?
It's incredible. I don't usually like 3D or IMAX, and I thought I'm gonna watch this, and hopefully I won't be thinking about the IMAX and the 3D. You have to, he says on the beginning of the walk, about forgetting everything around him, and you almost have to do that to submerge yourself in with him. It is heart-stopping. You know what happens, because if you've read the story and stuff like that, my palms were going crazy, but after a while it was like a flooding technique. My heart calmed down. I was like, yeah, this is all right, could do this, I could wire walk tomorrow.
does the fact that if you know the outcome, without trying to spoil this for people who haven't seen it or don't know, is it better to not know what happens?
He narrates the story in the past, so you're face-to-face with him. So from the first minute, you know this.
So you know that he's done it. Yeah.
Robert Zemeckis described it as a love letter to the Twin Towers, which is really nice, and it's not shoved down your throat. It's a nice way to remember them rather than what happened. The only problem with the 3D is when they pan back and he's walking on the wire, it's a bit doughy. He looks a bit like a Sim character. That's the only time I criticise the technology.
Right.
But you have to see it in the cinema. If you see it on DVD, the effect will be gone. You're there for the spectacle.
Yeah, I think it is one of those movies. I've not seen it yet, and I do want to watch it, but there's sort of like limited performances now on IMAX of it, so you're going to have to get to see it like now, because come next week when Spectre comes out, you ain't going to see it on IMAX.
Well, it's a bit like Ocean's 11, so if you like Ocean's 11...
Oh, like a heist. Oh, yeah, because how they get up to the top of the towers and do it. Yeah, I remember that from the documentary, and that was really, really interesting how they did it. So a thumbs up from you, then.
Yeah, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt absolutely nails Philippe Petit. When I watched the documentary, I said, well, he's done very well here.
Has Sir Ben Kingsley done a good film apart from Sexy Beast ever?
Yes. He was good in Iron Man 3. He was funny.
It's a third Iron Man.
Yeah. The second.
And he's an old Avengers one.
When he's good, he's good. When he's bad, he's Gandhi. That's what they say about Sven. And that's the film that made him.
What have
really?
I seen him in? Mm. I'm trying to think what I've seen him in.
Yeah, Sexy Beast is the best one.
Nothing.
Yeah, you need him and Ray Winston, and he plays a gangster, and he's brilliant. Really, really good. Really, really good. Now, the other film you've been to see, which you went and saw, was it yesterday you went and saw this? So this is fresh.
Yeah.
Fresh off the shelf. And you went to see Crimson Peak, which is the brand new one, ready for Halloween, from Guillermo del Toro.
Yes.
This is the guy behind Pan's Labyrinth. This is the guy behind Hellboy. This is the guy behind the big fighting crashy robot monsters in Pacific Rim. What's Crimson Peak like?
Okay, it's like an old gothic story. So you've got Mia... Well, I can't say her surname. Sorry.
No, I don't know. Just call her Mia.
Mia, who plays Edith, and she is the star of the show. She wants to be an author. She meets Thomas Sharp, who is played by Tom Hiddleston, and he kind of wants to whisk her away to England. She's not sure of him. It's very... I think it's very literal with the kind of literary references. So she is a bit like Jane Austen. She's the heroine of the story. Thomas Sharp is he's got aspects of Dorian Gray. Lucille Sharp, who's played by Jessica Chastain, is his sister, and she's very creepy. She's a bit like Miss Havisham, Esther. She's a bit like Lady Macbeth, actually. They take her to England to their mansion, which is sinking into red clay. She's been visited by the ghost of her mother, who keeps saying to her, "Beware of Crimson Peak," and she doesn't know what it means until later in the film. When she goes over there, she notices all these ghosts keep coming to see her. The ghosts are almost like they're underwater, so they are skeletons in clothing, but there's almost like embers coming off of them.
Oh, right, okay.
Which is apparently, you may have seen this, reminiscent of The Devil's Backbone.
Oh, right, yes, yes.
So just like that.
Okay.
It's very good. It is very, very violent. I thought it would be more, kind of, because it's near Halloween, more gothic, more scary. And
yeah.
You said before we went on air, it's not horror. To an extent, it is a horror, but...
It's a gory horror.
Really gory.
Wow.
Really, really gory.
I haven't seen a gory horror for years.
I built it up for months, so I was trying to lower my expectations. I felt like some of the justifications for the creepy undertones weren't strong enough. So the brother and sister are desperate to get, keep their, what's it called, clay mine and build this thing. And what they do in the film, that isn't a strong enough reason to do it. There's a great aspect of Edith telling us what everything means, a bit like we're idiots, like, oh, I found this, oh, I wonder what this will do, kind of thing.
Right, okay.
I think one of the guys I went with is a huge Del Toro fan, and he wasn't blown away. So I'd say don't set your expectations too high.
Okay, interesting. You're quite so mediocre on that.
The costumes, brilliant.
And the look of the film, it looks stunning. It really does look stunning. The house and everything looks really, really, really beautiful.
I'd probably be told off for saying this, but I kind of wish there was more Tim Burton about it.
Oh, good Lord. No one's ever asked for that before.
No, I was going to say.
Right, there's two films that you can catch in the cinemas at the moment. Of course, Spectre is the big movie next week. That is launched on Monday, so it has a massive opening weekend because it starts on a Monday.
Well, if they're starting their weekend on the Monday, I'm starting my weekend on the Monday.
Let's
so
do
I
it.
Won't be in. I'm having a week off.
Fair enough, mate.
Okay.
You won't get paid.
I will.
All right. You talk to them. I don't think you will.
The Bond people are, so I'm getting
paid. Let's talk TV movies of the week and see what we can pick out for you. Well, realistically, there is three on today. Yes, it is, of course, Future Day, which means all three Back to the Future movies are on today on ITV2. Starting at 4:30 this afternoon, the trilogy's on.
You're going over watching them all, aren't you?
I've had a text from my wife. She says, happy Back to the Future Day, darling.
Aww.
Are we going to watch the films tonight? Do you know what? I'm not going to watch all three tonight. We're going to watch Back to the Future 2 tonight.
That's the worst one.
No, it's not, because that's the Future Day one. So that's the one we're going to watch tonight. So that's the one. I love them all. I love all three of them, Kat. I love the first one. I love the second one. I love the third one. So we'll watch Back to the Future 2 tonight. But it's on from 4:30 on ITV2. And then there's something with Keith Lemon that he's looking at Back to Future. So that's on as well. Yes. So you can get your BTTF fix on that a little bit later on. What's your first film, Patricia?
I don't think there was that much on, I'm not going to lie, apart from Back to the Future. So I picked Friday, Paul, on film 4. It's good. It's not
all
great.
Right. It's okay.
It's funny. I can watch most Simon Pegg films. Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
9 p.m. Friday, film 4.
That's okay, yeah. Bill, have you found one?
I'm quickly going through all the films that are on, but I have got one. We mentioned it earlier. Film four tonight.
Yeah.
9 p.m. Magic Mike.
Magic Mike.
Never seen it.
Yeah. So no, neither have I either. Not seen that at all. So I wouldn't mind having a look at that. I'm sure my wife would be quite happy as well. I'm going for Friday, ITV1, 9 o'clock. Skyfall in your tumble in a something. Skyfall.
Home Alone with guns and explosives.
It's brilliant, though. Really, really good. it's the third outing as Bond for Daniel Craig, and it's in a really good one, so it'll get you all prepped up for Spectre on Monday. So that's the way to do it. So that's 9 o'clock on ITV1, Skyfall. In fact, I've got it on Blu-ray. I'm going to watch it on Blu-ray because ITV1, it's on from 9 till 10. Then it breaks for half an hour for the news. I hate it when they do that. So I'll just watch it on Blu-ray. But if you haven't got it on Blu-ray, 9 o'clock, ITV1, Friday. Katricia?
Saturday, 10 past 11, From Hell, when Johnny Depp wasn't a caricature of himself.
Yes! Very good.
Yeah.
That is a good one, actually. Yeah. There's the Jack the Ripper one, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is actually pretty good, that.
It's got, what's her name, Joanna Page from Gavin and Stacey.
And Thingy.
Thingy.
Yes, Thingy's in it. Yeah, that's quite
from
right.
From Hangover, what's the name?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. But Thingy is possibly the greatest name ever for an actress. Bill?
Struggling, really, but bad films. I've seen loads of press for this, and I think you know what I'm going to say now because you've looked at my screen. I've seen so many posters for it. It always seems to be an offer.
Oh, right.
Whatever shop you go in. I've never seen it, and I don't know if I was bored, I might just want to watch it, see how bad it really is. That's Spring Breakers with James Franco and assorted bikini-clad women.
Yeah, Selena Gomez and that
lot. I'm sure
lot.
It's horrendous, and I just want to see how bad it is.
Yeah, probably
so
is
that's
bad.
On Film 4, Saturday, 5 to 11.
Well, apparently it tries to be an art film with no justification for it.
I'm going for my second film, which is on Saturday morning... Late Saturday night, Friday night, Saturday morning. It's 10 past one Saturday morning, okay? 01:10. And it's on ITV4, and it's The Jerk. Steve Martin, The Jerk, which is one of the best Steve Martin films. Alongside The Man with Two Brains, are the best two Steve Martin films I think I've ever seen. I mean, there's loads of great Steve Martin films, but this is brilliant. He plays Nathan Johnson, who suddenly discovers that his black parents aren't his natural kin. He leaves the plantation to make his way in the world, and there's some beautiful jokes in it, especially one where he makes a fortune inventing a nose support for spectacles and then gets sued. But it is absolutely perfect, this film. It's one of the best comedies ever, I think, really, and it's Steve Martin at the height of his powers. And this is 1979, this film. But it is absolutely brilliant.
What colour is his hair?
White.
Has it always been white?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. There's a few little bits of dark in there, but it's pretty much white.
He's rocking it.
He is rocking
but
it, so there you go.
That was like 40 years ago.
Well, not that much. I'm not 50, so... 79? I was seven then.
It's 2015, so it's... So when he made it, 37, 38 years ago, so it's nearly 40 years.
Nearly. All right. You're making me feel even older now, Bill. Please don't. So that's 1979,
Question
The Jerk, ITV4, Saturday, 10 past 1 in the morning. Katricia?
I've got an even worse bad film than
you. Oh, dear.
Which I love.
Oh, dear.
Monday, Channel 5, House Bunny. Anna Faris at her best.
Anna Faris, that's all I need to know. If she's in a film, no chance am I going to watch it.
She's married to Chris Pratt.
Yeah, they love each other.
Well, you'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but they're like a real celebrity marriage.
Yeah, but they love each other. Yeah, it's awful, that film. It really is bad.
Sure
I've actually watched, I think, the first 20 minutes
Colin
and gave
Hanks,
up.
Emma Stone.
It's just all good, isn't it? It's just all good. Have you got a final film
for
us?
Yeah, a final one. And I'm not ashamed about this.
Right.
Saturday, 5:05. On some channel never heard of, five star.
Don't put Billy in the corner.
Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. That is a great film.
You know it makes sense.
That is a great film. You're turning your nose up. You're a lady. You should love that film.
I didn't consult the contract of being a lady, but...
I don't think it matters what gender you are.
I think it's a great film. I remember taking a girl to the cinema to watch that. I didn't watch much of it.
Wee.
Wee. I did the yawn. And the arm round the shoulders.
The popcorn with the hole in the bottom
as
well.
Yeah, exactly. My final film.
Sorry, Sam.
My final film is on ITV4 again. Sunday, 4:50, Field of Dreams.
Oh, with the baseball film.
If you build it, they will come.
Preposterous, but quite entertaining, that film.
Fantasy drama from director Phil Alden Robinson. And, of course, it's Kevin Costner in there. He's an Iowan farmer, and he builds a baseball pitch. And then all these amazing baseball players turn up. And then he plays baseball with his dad at the end.
Spoilers!
But it's amazing. So if you've never seen it, watch it. Field of Dreams from 1989, 10 to 5 on Sunday afternoon. It's a perfect Sunday afternoon movie, that. Okay, that's pretty much the podcast for today. Let's just remind you of your clip-bait clip. What movie is this from?
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Know what movie this is from. Go home now. There we go. That's the movie podcast for this week. Thank you very much for your time, Billy Banks.
I have to say, before this breakfast show started, I wouldn't have known that.
You're joking, aren't you?
No.
Oh, good Lord. You knew, though, didn't you? You knew, Patricia.
I've seen the film, I think. But, you know, I wouldn't have known.
Watch it tonight. ITV 2... 4:30. Just watch the first
one. Champions League football.
No, 4:30. It's not.
We in the gym.
Just come on, watch it. Set your Sky Plus now to record
Sky
it.
Plus.
Lift and watch.
I'm
going to
bring
in the blue. Do you have a Blu-ray player?
Pardon?
Do you have a Blu-ray player? No, he doesn't.
See you later.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.